AI may be the most important new computer technology ever. But AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. See how customers like Uber and Cohere are training their AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. That's oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, November 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The laser sensor technology LiDAR helps systems like self-driving vehicles get a 3D image of the world. In the past year, it's emerged from a little-discussed industry to a focus of U.S. national security concerns over fears it could be used for advanced weapons, spying, and cyber attacks. That's put companies like China-based Hesai Group, which develops LiDAR, in the middle of geopolitical tensions. Our reporter Heather Somerville is going to join us later in the show to explain what this means for Hesai, its self-driving customers, and its investors. But first, the closing arguments in the criminal trial of Sam Bankman-Fried are underway. The FTX founder is facing charges of fraud and conspiracy in connection with the collapse of the crypto exchange, which he has denied. Several of his deputies testified for the prosecution that Bankman-Fried directed them to use customer funds to cover FTX expenses. He also took the stand in his own defense. Jury deliberation could begin later today. Here's our reporter, Corinne Ramey.
If they find Sam Bankman-Fried guilty, they would have to believe prosecutors' arguments that he stole billions of dollars and that he lied to lenders, customers, and investors. If the defense prevails, they would have believed Sam Bankman-Fried's testimony and his assertion that he acted in good faith and didn't intend to steal money from anybody. It is hard to know how long jury deliberations will last. Sometimes jurors reach a quick verdict. It's also possible this drags on for days. And we'll have a better sense of this if we get notes from the jury. Sometimes the jury asks questions. They may ask for testimony read back to them. And that can give us at least kind of tea leaves into what's going on inside their heads.
If you've ever been the Android user in a group full of iPhone-toting friends, you may know what it's like to be the green bubble person. That's the one whose texts change the color of conversations, block some features, and the sharing of high-quality photo and videos. You may even have been left out of chats because of it. Well, no longer. For Android users who want to blend in and avoid the FOMO, there are some solutions, and our personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown is here to share them. So Dalvin, there is this burgeoning array of tools trying to bring Android and Apple users closer. Can you start by telling us about some of the ones that make Android messages look like iMessages?
Sunbird is one of the apps that bills itself as a unified messaging service. And what it does is, if you're an Android user, it routes your text messages through a Mac, which then sort of tricks the system into thinking you're sending an iMessage. And so then your messages are turning up blue on an iPhone, and you can join the group chat, and you can get the blue bubbles. And another service that's similar is called Blue Bubbles, ironically enough. And what Blue Bubbles does, though, is it requires that you have your own Mac signed into an iCloud account, and then it will use that to sort of route your text messages. You can send those text messages from the app on your Android, but what the iPhone user receives is a Blue Bubble text.
You mentioned with Blue Bubbles that you have to have your own Mac. Are there other limitations to these services?
Yeah, so one of the technological limitations is that sometimes your messages get delayed. And then Apple is updating its ecosystem, its messaging app, often. And so there may be a lag. It takes time for these platforms to update their services to have all the latest bells and whistles that people who are in Apple's ecosystem full-time get to enjoy.
iMessage isn't the only messaging service that you might be connecting with people through. Are there apps to link up multiple platforms?
Yeah, so there's an app called Beeper, which similarly allows you to send iMessages from an Android to an iPhone, but it also is just like a centralized messenger. So you can add your Google Chat app or your Instagram DMs. You can add WhatsApp. And all of those sort of messaging apps live in one platform, so you don't have to hop back and forth between apps to send messages.
What about some of Apple's other features? I'm thinking about like FaceTime or AirDrop. Are there apps that let Android users get access to those?
Absolutely. And I tried a lot of them. And so one of them that works, which effectively fools a Mac into thinking it's receiving an AirDrop, is called Warp Share. And so if you're an Android user and you download software from Warp Share's GitHub page, you can essentially share files without an internet connection from your Android to a Mac. And then on the Mac, it shows up that it's receiving an AirDropped either photo or video or other file. It's like a backdoor into Apple's ecosystem. And then if you want to FaceTime, there's not an official sort of FaceTime app for Android, but Apple will allow iPhone users to send links to join a FaceTime. Again, some technical limitations. Sometimes things don't work. You don't get access to all the different features, maybe emoji reactions that people who are in Apple's ecosystem would get, but you still get some of the benefits.
Delvin, how big a deal is this?
It's a big deal. So in the US, 40% of consumers use iPhones. But what's really interesting is those between the ages of 18 and 24, 70% of those people use iPhones, according to the Consumer Intelligence Research Partners. And the data shows that young people in the U.S. are preferring iPhones more and more over time, or at least have in recent years.
That was our personal tech reporter, Dalvin Brown. Coming up, we'll tell you about the latest tech caught in the center of U.S.-China tensions and what it means for one of the industry's key players. That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. See how customers like Uber and Cohere are training their AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. That's oracle.com/wallstreet.
Hesai Group is a Shanghai-based maker of laser sensors used for next-generation vehicles. In February, it began selling shares in the U.S. and was heralded by some as a comeback for Chinese listings. But less than 9 months later, Hesai's stock is down 50% and has become an example of what can happen to companies caught in the battle between the U.S. and China over developing advanced technology. Our reporter Heather Somerville has been following this story. So Heather, can you tell us more about what Hesai makes?
Hesai makes LiDAR. LiDAR is a laser-based sensor that uses light pulses to basically see the world. And what this looks like is a small piece of equipment that's attached to a vehicle, for instance, a car or a truck. And it enables that vehicle to detect the environment around it and thus navigate it autonomously. Hesai is grown to be one of the most dominant players in this field. It has, for instance, about half of the entire market for cars that use LiDAR.
What are governments concerned about when it comes to this kind of tech and its future?
The national security implications are that LiDAR is critical for autonomous systems. So this can mean anything from a robo-taxi to a drone that can fly autonomously in the battlefield to a whole host of other things that the U.S. military wants and needs in modern combat. And in addition, there's concerns about LiDAR being used by China to spy and to gather data on Americans or sensitive American infrastructure. Now, to be clear, Hesai denies all of these allegations, says technically its LiDAR cannot be used for spying. It's not even attached to the internet. But these concerns have been the focus of many conversations among members of Congress and their staff in recent months.
And these seem to be a concern of investors. I mean, how are they reacting to seeing the U.S. government raise issues about national security around HSI?
HSI is certainly on the defensive right now, publicly and with its investors. We should say other LiDAR companies that are headquartered in the U.S. also have had their stock prices fall. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but in HSI's case, it's been accused of patent theft by multiple companies in the U.S. It is struggling to grow its revenue in places like the United States and part of Europe. And a lot of this comes down to the uncertainty around its future as a Chinese company building critical technology that a heck of a lot of U.S. companies are using.
Did HSI bring anything up about being a Chinese company when it started selling shares in the U.S.?
Yes. So per SEC rules, Chinese companies have to give investors some sort of warning about potential interference by the Chinese government. And so HSI did that. It has very explicit language in its filing that it made with the SEC prior to going public in the U.S. about the business could be interfered with by the Chinese government. And this, of course, is true for, I think many would say, most or all Chinese companies. And now we ought to say that HSI says the Chinese government has not interfered with its management or business decisions.
It seems like a number of these risks are coming from what the U.S. government might do or steps that it might take that affect HSI. Are there any concerns about what China might do that could impact the company?
Yeah. So recently, China came out with an updated list of potential export restrictions. So these are not final rules. This was a draft. And on that list was LiDAR. It is a signal that China, like the U.S., recognizes the commercial and military importance of this technology.
How is HSI reacting to being caught in the middle of this geopolitical tension?
The company told us that they consider this little more than the result of their competitors in the U.S. not being able to hack it and resorting to xenophobic fear-mongering and taking advantage of the U.S.-China tensions to initiate HSI's demise.
Are we seeing other companies caught up in this tension?
Yeah, one of the most interesting fallouts of this particular tension are the autonomous vehicle companies in the U.S., self-driving trucking and self-driving robotaxi companies. The vast majority of them do use HSI LiDAR. I talk to these executives, these founders and CEOs, and they say, listen, HSI is the best on the market for certain types of safety features and other technical features that they need on their self-driving vehicles. And HSI produces these LiDAR in huge volume, thanks to its manufacturing capacity in China. And the price is often more reasonable than other options. And so they don't necessarily want to rely on a Chinese product to build their autonomous trucks and their autonomous cars. But they see few other domestic options. And they blame that largely on a lack of U.S. investment in LiDAR, which, by the way, the U.S. invented initially decades ago.
All right, that was our reporter, Heather Somerville. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.